Would you open your Bibles? Luke chapter 17. I've been reading Luke in my devotions of late, and this story is interesting. Luke 17, 11 through 19, it's when Jesus heals the 10 guys with leprosy. That's fun. That was a death sentence in the ancient world. Luke 17, 11 through 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee, and he was going into a village, and there were 10 men who had leprosy, and they met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity or have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. They obeyed as they went. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. Oh, and he was a despised Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all the 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to praise, to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Another translation literally from the Greek is, "Your faith has saved you." Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, thank you for this day. Thank you for this Labor Day weekend. And Lord, we pray for those who in our midst who are out and traveling. We pray for travel mercies for them, and we thank you for them. And we also pray, Lord, that as we always pray, that you would give us eyes that see and ears that hear everything you want to say to us this morning through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we continue on in this series called The Pillars of Joy. I think we can all use a little or a lot more joy in our lives. And as I've said before, the good news about joy is that it's not a mysterious thing. It's not so elusive. Actually, we can cultivate it. Because if you work on these virtues, as you pray through them and live through them and bring them into your life, they will become a bedrock. And these pillars of joy, we said, also include humility, humor, forgiveness, gratitude, compassion, and generosity. We could probably add others as well. And so the idea of this series is each week we're looking at one of them, and then at the end we'll sum them up and kind of review them. But this morning we are looking at the pillar of gratitude, of thankfulness. And in many ways, gratitude as a Christian should be your primary posture before God, right? And you'll find that these different pillars influence and help one another. We started off this series by saying having a humble perspective in life will really help you be grounded in this life. People who aren't grounded, who are flying all over and sometimes off the handle, they lack humility in a godly sort of way. Other things, humor, we said, a lot of times we don't think of humor as vital in the Christian life, a pillar of joy. Jokes and those things, they're not meant to stand alone, right? They're meant to highlight or to emphasize something. Remember what humor means in Latin? It means moisture, fluid. So if you're humorous, you'll stay flexible. You know, you ever met people just kind of, you know, I'm in church and it's great. We call them the frozen chosen. They're not a lot of fun. They're not very humorous, right? We'll just keep moving on, I guess, right? We talked about last week being a radical forgiver. When you forgive God's way, you take back control of your life. Those who have deeply harmed you, you free them. Really, you free yourself. And then this morning, of course, we are talking about gratitude. Now, around here, we like to sometimes say, you know, words really do matter. Have you ever noticed? Define your terms. Is anybody defining terms anymore? Is that a thing? Or we just make up stuff? That's another sermon. But at any rate, you know by now I'm a word nerd. I love words, and I love how words move around in different cultures and languages. So here's your word nerd thing for the day. You know where gratitude comes from? It's a Latin word, gratus. In addition to meaning thankful, I'm thankful for everything in my life. It implies that which is pleasing and agreeable. How about that? You know, aren't grateful people easy to be around? Have you noticed this? If a person has a lot of gratitude in their lives, if they're thankful, it's fun. You know, they usually are probably somewhat humorous too. Thankful people have no problem for expressing appreciation for other people or for their kindness toward them, and especially the kindness and graciousness of God, right? The grace that you have received, that you have experienced through accepting God's free gift of Jesus Christ, also comes from the Latin word gratia or grazia. Grace is related to gratitude. Have you thought about this? Right? We express our eternal gratitude to the Lord. Now, the Bible is filled with examples of people who are thankful to God for all his blessings in their life, tangible and intangible. I found out this week there are over 200 occurrences in the entire Bible where people, God's people, offer him heartfelt thanks and gratitude. Those are all over the Psalms. If you want the book of gratitude, check out the Psalms. The Apostle Paul, his 13 epistles, you'll notice that he was always thanking God for something. And what I found over time and study is that one quarter of all the thankful verses in the Bible come from Paul. And what struck me is, you know how hard his life and ministry was? How did he keep going? He was thankful. He found things to thank God for in so many ways. But it is so easy to slip into ungrateful mindsets. We all do it, right? I mean, I've said to myself some days, I don't even want to be around you. It's like, are you crazy too? It's like, you're just foul. What's going on? You better pray. My wife will figure that one out real quick. Go pray. Is it me or something that drives me particularly nuts is ungrateful children? I'm just going to go there. Oh, they drive me nuts, right? At that point, that's a parental issue. And manners really do matter, don't they? Here's what we should be teaching our children and our grandchildren, right? Please, thank you, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. Is that old-fashioned? We need that, right? Do you want your children or grandchildren to grow up to be happy and joyful human beings? Of course you do. Then you must help teach them an attitude of gratitude, right? An attitude of gratitude. That's why, happy to plug Brenda's six-week ladies' fall study. That's going to, some of you ladies, that's going to be a real encouragement for you. It's, you know, in and out. It's not a long commitment, but she'll touch on these sorts of things, I think. Right? Having said that, if you are an adult, and, you know, people, Americans, we make up words. It actually drives other people nuts in the world. We make up words. Have you heard this word? I'm adulting today. I'm adulting. It seems redundant to me, right? Wasn't that word coined by people over the age of majority because other people weren't acting like adults? Are we adulting today? If you're an adult, you should be an adult, right? Is this some great mystery? Is this just me kind of, this is not just words, I'm really wondering. As an adult, You should consistently exhibit an attitude of gratitude, right? Let me tell you, when my sons were little boys, if they ever showed an attitude of ingratitude, especially in light of the kindness and goodness of other people, it was a Proverbs 13:24 moment. You know Proverbs 13:24? Oh, people don't like to talk about this one no more. Old school was in session. You know, Proverbs is the biblical book of wisdom, right? Right? Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates their children. The one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. Now, I've had mothers say to me, well, Jim, I don't believe in beating my children. As if discipline was a beating, right? Do you discipline yourself? I hope so, right? More nauseatingly, I once had a woman say adult Sunday school class, it was on parenting, and this woman actually had the gall to say, I just love my children too much. I just love them too much. I'm like, oh man, they must be monsters. It's not your job to be your child's friend. Huh? My best friend. Okay, whatever. You're their parent. How about that? Oh, you're fun today, Jim. I'm just getting started. I love my children too much. Yeah, right. Kind of like the time when a man brought his son to a grocery store and the child began to throw a temper tantrum. Tossing items out of the cart. Have you been to the grocery store? A kid is just losing his mind, throwing items out onto the floor. And despite the mayhem his son was causing, this father did nothing but repeat, "Don't worry, David. It'll be all right, David. We'll soon be home, David." Impressed by his so-called enlightened parenting, a nearby mother expressed her gratitude for his calm parenting and addressed the little tyrant, saying, "Now, David, what seems to be the matter?" "Oh, no, ma'am," said the father. "You're mistaken. This is my son, Henry. I'm David." Not the Christian way. Is it me or am I the only one? Have you ever had an urge to spank somebody else's child at Walmart? Confession is good for this. I've never done it, but it has entered my mind. I don't think I'm the only one. I don't think I am. Now again, it's so easy for all of us, I think, to slip into an attitude of ingratitude, right? Part of the problem is, it may come in one of two forms. I mean, we've mentioned this in adult ed. I want it now. I want it now. Isn't that selfish children? Isn't that what they say? I know a lot of adults that say that too. Are we adulting this week? Are we adulting? Or are we going to go to the courtroom like Medea? Miranda wasn't even in the room. I deserve more. I deserve more. Really? Why? You know, ungratefulness can come in all kinds of areas: material, financial, relational, circumstantial. The Bible offers tons of examples. I mean, we could choose any number. But I was thinking this week about, since it was in my devotions, Luke 17, 11 through 19. Bible's open. Jesus healed 10 men of leprosy. Right? What do they call it? It's Hansen's disease, I think. They've mostly conquered it. Praise God. You know? I mean, leprosy was a scourge in the ancient world. It had virtually a zero chance of recovery. What a long, slow, painful death. And one day you wake up and parts have fallen off your body. Isn't that lovely? The Old Testament is clear. When a person contracted leprosy, they were excluded from society. They were forced to live outside of town, right? And if they were lucky, they would find other lepers they could hang out and socialize with. To add insult to injury, if a person without leprosy ventured too close to someone with leprosy, they were required to say what? "Unclean, unclean," and they would back off. The isolation of COVID, man, it's still with us today. I mean, people have, you know, depression, despondency. That we are social creatures, people. We are social creatures. But lepers are excluded from that. Now, verses 11 through 13. This is interesting. It's sometimes the little comments that we miss that mean so much. Jesus is walking along the border between Galilee and Samaria. That's not incidental to the author, to Dr. Luke, right? That area was avoided by Jewish people. They hated Samaritan people. But Jesus did not participate in the prejudices and hatreds of his own people. Jesus never made an attempt to avoid Samaria like his fellow Jews. This is really interesting. Verse 13. This struck me this week, is that instead of the 10 lepers crying out when Jesus comes by, "Unclean, unclean," you know what they did? They saw Jesus and in unison called out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They knew he could heal them. They put their faith in him. And as usual, guess what? Jesus did. He had mercy. He told them to go to the priest, like the Mosaic Law said, who had the authority to declare them clean so they could return to normal society. But what's really very curious about all this is that even though all 10 knew that their leprosy was a death sentence, verses 15 and 16, only one of them showed any gratitude whatsoever. You were going to die. Almost 100%, you're going to die of this. Someone cleanses you, and you don't even say, thank you. Oh, right? Then it moves from curious to shocking scenario for Jewish people. He was a despised Samaritan that Jews hated. Upon being declared clean by the priest, the Samaritan, Jesus said, praised and thanked God the whole way back to Jesus, and then he threw himself down at Jesus' feet in sheer and unrestrained gratitude. Do you catch this? It's the little nuances. Jesus wasn't surprised at the healing. Of course Jesus can heal. Jesus was surprised by the ingratitude of the other nine. It takes a lot to surprise Jesus, doesn't it? Where are the other nine, he said, were healed? And presumably those other nine were part of God's people, Jews, underneath the surface. It's this hated Samaritan, this outsider, this guy who had never been a part of God's community of people, who gave thanks and praise to God and expressed his eternal gratitude to Jesus. Has it struck you? It did this week for me, that this despised and hated Samaritan whom Jesus physically healed, because of his faith in Jesus, also received the greater gift of spiritual salvation. Right? The NIV says, pity. Well, Jesus says, really, at the end of the story in the Greek, your faith has saved you. Right? It is by faith that you are saved, not of works, lest anyone should boast, Paul reminds us. Now, do you see the vital and spiritual connection between gratitude and grace? They're the same root in Latin, right? Same roots. If you do, then I'm grateful that you understand this. And you know what I say to you in Spanish? Gracias means grace. Thank you. These words are linked. You see, grateful people are gracious people. And for the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, they have the joyful opportunity to be God's people of grace. Grace. Such a gift of grace can never be kept to ourselves. That's why a church that's not on mission, that doesn't serve and love other people and evangelize, it's not a church anymore. It's a country club or a museum. I don't have any time for country clubs. I like museums for what they are, but we're not being a museum here, right? God's gift of grace is never to be kept to ourselves. That's why generosity is another pillar of joy that we will get to. Do you know that researchers have proven that grateful people suffer from far less stress and depression than ungrateful people? This is scientific research. This is not a faith-based statement. It's just true, right? From the scientific, that is. I also found, you know, smiling and humor is actually contagious. You ever play that dumb game where, you know, kids do something? You know, you look in the sky and you just kind of do this, and pretty soon people gather around, like a bunch of dumb turkeys. You know, turkeys can actually drown that way. They're that stupid. Are we much different? But smiling and humor is contagious. We've said that in previous sermons and that kind of thing. Gratitude is an important antidote against the spiritual poison of envy, right? Isn't much of the envy that we experience in our lives really, truly, maybe simply a matter of ingratitude? Right? In God's economy, we should never be surprised by his tendency to cause a dramatic reversal. You know, people who have eyes to see and ears that hear, God does crazy stuff all the time. We see it here at the church. It's amazing, right? Didn't Jesus tell the religious Pharisees of his day that tax collectors and prostitutes would enter the kingdom of God before they did? How to win friends and influence people? Not. Maybe, right? Here we have this surprising story this morning of Jesus healing the hated and despised Samaritan and the gratitude and grace that came in its wake. Kind of like the time when the last pope died, went to heaven, met St. Peter, greeted him saying, Peter said, this is what you want to hear, right? You have lived a life of gratitude that was filled with the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So here's the keys to your hut. Delighted, the Pope went to his new hut, found everything he could possibly ever need. But when he opened the window, he saw a huge mansion nearby. And so the Pope asked St. Peter, who gets to live in the mansion? And he was shocked. Envy? He was shocked to hear it was a lawyer. Medea will be back, Judge Maybelline. It was a lawyer. A lawyer, the Pope cried, addressing St. Peter once again. The Pope said, St. Peter, sir, I don't wish to appear ungrateful, but why does this lawyer get to live in a mansion? I've served you all my life, and now all I get is this hut. To which St. Peter replied, well, we've got dozens and dozens of popes around here, but he's the only lawyer in this place. Any lawyers in the house? I was offending them. Hey, it's like Medea says in a different skit. I don't trust him because lawyer sounds like liar. Lawyer, liar, fun with words. No, you do need a good lawyer in life. This is true. And if you get a Christian one, you've won the lottery. Anyway, we have so much to be grateful for. God has gifted us, all of us, with what? Food, clothing, shelter, the incomparable gift of new life in Jesus Christ, right? I love the old hymn. That's an old gospel song. Count your blessings. You know that one? Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God hath done. When you're in a foul mood, start counting your blessings. It'll change you. It'll change your outlook. Your spouse and family will thank God if you do that, right? How can you not wake up each and every morning and say, thank you, Lord? Thank you, Lord. I'm so grateful to be alive today. Why live a life that's where the glass is half empty when through the eyes of grace and gratitude, you can know that your glass is full to the overflowing? Amen. This is not the power of positive thinking. This is just biblical Christianity, right? In Jesus, everything, and I mean everything, is yes and amen, right? Gratitude helps us to experience joy, and we can all use some more joy in our lives, right? Ingratitude is a narrow prison because the whole focus of ingratitude is on our small and boring stories. If you just live your life for yourself, boring, right? What did Jesus say? He who, what? You following me here? Yeah, if you try and save your life, you'll lose it. This is an article of faith, but if you lose your life for Jesus Christ, you will find it. Who has the eyes of faith for that one, right? Ingratitude is such a narrow prison. Gratitude is wide and spacious. It's filled with wonder, surprise. It's open to all of God's possibilities. Envy, which we've talked about in the past, is really an evil stepsister of ingratitude. It's focused on the material rather than the spiritual. Envy competes with its perceived equals, and it looks down with despise, contempt on what it considers its inferiors. Forgiveness and reconciliation, which we've talked about, is something that biologists have discovered, and I was surprised by this, that even the animal kingdom partakes in. Animals forgive and reconcile. Have you seen this happen before? This is really fascinating. In fact, researchers have discovered that forgiveness and reconciliation plays out among almost all of the animals of the animal kingdom, except one. It shouldn't be a surprise. Anybody hazard a guess? Cats. Yeah, there it is. Anyone who has ever owned a cat, or I should say rather has been owned by a cat, already knows this. And you know, I got to preach like John the Baptist. You just got to get fiery, right? Fallen felines, pugnacious and petty little pets of perdition, who has counseled thee to repent from the coming wrath that's coming to you? Some of you want me to pound the, there it is. There it is. Wonder of wonders, even Disney gets it right once in a while. Remember that old movie? It's probably bad theology, but old movie, All Good Dogs Go to Heaven. Remember that one? Oh, really? Yeah, well, they'll never make one that says all cats go to heaven. Not so much. Not so much. But of course, such ingratitude is not limited to the family of felines. Kind of like the time on a cold December day, a French tourist was visiting Scotland. Decided to see if the neighbors were as tight as he had heard. Well, you can't get much more opposite of a Scotsman and a Frenchman. But anyway, this French guy stopped at a farm cottage and told the farmer's wife that he was freezing to death. She invited him to come in and warm himself by the hearth. Once in the house, he complained that he was thirsty. The Scotswoman handed him an enormous crockery mug filled with milk, and after taking a big swig, the duplicitous guest exclaimed, "This milk is so sweet and fresh. Thank you. You are most generous, madam." Now, typical of Scottish modesty and frankness, the woman replied, "'Tis nothing. Me family wouldn't drink that milk because we found a dead rat in it." Sick to his stomach, the Frenchman clapped his hands across the mouth and allowed the big mug to fall to the ground, shattering the stone floor. This infuriated the Scotswoman, as you can imagine, and she raised her broom high and whacked him in the head with it, like a Scotswoman would do, and said, "Get out, you ungrateful pig. I took you into me home, let you warm yourself by my hearth, gave you milk to drink, and now you repay my generosity by breaking the children's potty." Ungrateful French. Sometimes you shouldn't ask questions. As a Christian, do you have an attitude of ingratitude? Is that a problem for you right now? You have so much to be grateful for, so remember to do what the old hymn says and count your blessings, right? Cultivate an attitude of gratitude. Why? It's simple, because it pleases God. It pleases God. It's one of the pillars of joy. And after all, who among us here couldn't use a little more joy in their lives? Amen? An attitude of gratitude, one of the pillars of joy. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for all of your blessings in our lives. Lord, we have food, we have clothing, we have shelter. And if this weren't enough, we have new life in Jesus Christ. What else could we possibly need? We repent from an attitude of ingratitude, of lack, of smallness, of selfishness. We thank you that in Jesus all things are yes and amen, and that in knowing that we can be thankful and generous to others in need, Lord. There's so much need in our community. Help us to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this time and in this place, we pray. And so, Lord, as we go forth from this place into a new week, we just pray that you would help us to do that. In the mighty and powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.